Green Bay Area Live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. You're sampling. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much, Terry Barr. Good morning.
Here we are.
Another beautiful day in northeastern Wisconsin. Beautiful morning. It's only like 58 out there. That feels fantastic. I had my morning jog before I came in. What?
Your morning jug.
Yeah. Something.
Did you see that forecast, too?
I did not.
It's a great week again. Yeah. Last week was awesome. This week's, you know, and I know.
No kids, better place to be.
Kids get a little freaked out because the school ads are starting.
I know. That bothers me. It's like, come on, you kids still have a month left to go.
Yeah.
That used to bug. That's the only negative. We had one vacation when I was a kid. I think I told you what that was.
Right.
The family vacation would come down to a Packer game. The preseason game, it would always be the Bishop's charity game.
Yep.
Okay. And it was always against like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Giants, some team that was just kind of, you know, whatever. But that was the only disappointing thing is because you'd go out, you know, shopping and it's like, you know, back to school. And it's like, don't do this to me.
So as much as we're looking for advertisers to be on the Mind on the Mayor show, no school.
We don't want, we're banning that.
We're not going to scare people away.
We're not. You still get a month vacation. If it was like the middle of the year and somebody said, hey kids, you got a month off of school. They'd be like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. All but right. Come on.
So, all right, our commitment. We're not doing that because we are a positive show that engages with the community. However, with that said, we do have the superintendent of schools coming on this week.
Well, we're going to tell him we're banning back-to-school specials. Just so. Another thing.
Hottest, this guy's going to be awesome, too.
Hottest topic going on. We got a big show today, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
We've got Tom Farley, brother of Chris Farley. Chris, of course, I mean, that's all you have to say is Chris Farley. Legendary, you know, living a van by the river and all his great things and wonderful.
Can you believe that was, what, 25, 20 years
ago? I know. Isn't
that's
that something?
A long time ago that he died. But
I know.
But they were brothers, close in age, right?
Yeah.
I know they kind of shared bedroom stuff like that growing up in their house. And
did you share a bedroom?
Yeah, we had five boys in our family.
We had four in one bedroom.
Yeah.
And at one point, when all my brothers came home from the Army, because they were all in the Army, and we had three in one bed.
Oh, no, we didn't do that.
We had three in a bed.
Wow.
I'd like to know anybody that had more than three in a bed. Nobody has.
No.
Nobody has.
Anyway.
Okay. Can I just jump
He's going to be great. I'm really excited about Chris Farley's brother coming on to really talk about not comedy, right? He's going to talk about something much more serious.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. He travels around the country. He gets like huge money for traveling around the country, and he donates it back to substance abuse things, a lot of it and everything I was reading about. But it's a real, this is Chris Farley, his brother. And it's funny, I was in Madison this weekend with my granddaughters, had a phenomenal time. I'll recover sooner or later. The elder abuse.
Jumping on your back.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But anyway, driving through Madison, it's like, here's this kid that grew up right here in Madison, went to school here, made it to the big time. I mean, you know what I mean? He made it. And then what that abuse can do to a person like that whose life is just, you know, from the outside is just golden right now. Just the most beautiful life. You've achieved everything. The highest as you can get in your field.
Yeah.
And the addiction still brought him down like that. I mean, that's what we're going to talk to Tom Farley about. Also, in 5 minutes, exactly 5 minutes, we've got the world's foremost authority on whether soggy bread should be fit for human consumption. I had 101 comments on my Facebook when we did the thing. Any soup with soggy bread, a.k.a. French onion, yes or no? I say no. Here's what I got. Yes, love it. I love dipping French onion.
Right.
Only French onion and eat it fast.
Right.
Dip it in chili, too.
Right.
Love baked French onion with bread, says Heather. Bonnie says, let's not forget our grilled cheese dipped in tomato soup.
Right.
Who does that?
Everybody.
Dolly says, yes, indeed. Troy says, French for sure, John. Chili with soggy crackers. Karen, yes. Colin, tomato basil with grilled cheese inside was delicious at Red Lion Pub. Jennifer, well, I make big bread bowls with my cream of broccoli.
Johnny,
it's really good.
What's the debate?
Arvy, no, but heavy on crushed saltines. Dan, barf. Patty, bread pudding, the ultimate soggy bread.
Right.
Angie, no. Soup with crusty bread, yes. Jennifer, wet bread, no thanks. Tori, it's a key ingredient, like having a taco without the meat. Carl, buttered bread with chicken noodle soup and dunked.
Right.
Carrie, BFOs are awesome. What's a BFO? Especially with, and I've heard this word a couple of times, G-R-U-Y-E-R-E. Have you heard that word? G-R-U-Y-E-R-E. Christy, barf. Dan Zaratsky, yes. Troy, crusty bread, yes. Already soft bread, no. Amber, agree, Troy. No bread, no melted cheese on top. So it could have been all over. So, okay, so that's what it is. But here's one.
Johnny, that's like 99% say no, it's okay.
Yes. Not really.
Well, 98% then.
Carl says, White Dog has the best French onion soup. Great on a cool fall day or winter. Okay.
Okay.
Here's another one. Victoria, I always made my own croutons for my French onion soup and topped with fresh grated parm when I was at Andrew's Fine Dining in De Pere. It was always on the menu and ordered often.
Right. So what do you say? What's your point? I don't get it. Because everybody...
Christina, no soggy bread. Calm down with cheese on top of French onion. I want soup, not 1-inch thick slab of cheese.
Well, here this group.
Jason, love French onion, but I this is interesting. Love French onion, but I use croutons and add them to the spoon.
Okay, what's the what? It's still it's all they're all saying the same thing is that they're okay with
it's
bread.
50-50.
Oh my god,
it is 50.
That's why you that's back
Kelly.
To that
I am not a big fan of soggy bread, Mino. No.
2.75 and okay, Guri though it's a this G R U Y E R E that's a cheese. It's a classified as a Swiss type or Alpine cheese.
Because this is what I got from Len. Real French onion soup should be served with a slice of Gruyere?
Yeah.
Gruyere?
Right.
Cheese top baguette?
Baguette.
Right? Toasted under a broiler and placed on top of the soup.
Absolutely. You should actually, good French soup, you would have two types of cheese. You would have that Gruyere, and then you could use a provolone or another.
Well, this one says Asiago. Another one says Asiago. Croutons are 2-day old Asiago chunks.
Yeah. So.
Brenda says, no, soggy bread is beyond disgusting.
Okay,
so,
one person.
Yeah, so we've got, in 2 minutes, we've got the world's most renowned authority on whether soggy bread should be consumed by anyone.
It better be, is it Chris Mangus from 335 who runs one of the best catering restaurants? He's been on national television.
I don't know.
Is that who's coming on?
No, it's not.
Okay, because I think he would be an authority. This is a guy that... when we go to the Packer games, that's where we're stopping at his tailgate place because he caters tailgate parties for the private jet people.
Yeah.
And unbelievable.
Like, I haven't done a tailgate party for the private jet people?
Like, I don't know, John.
Can I be honest with you on something? I'm going to be honest with you on something. I bet I'm the only person either talking on the show or listening to this show that has never really tailgated.
John, don't say that.
I was always working for Packer games.
We were hired to engage the community.
I know.
I have my little routine of like 4 stops, and they're great, and they're the nicest people, and they are true tailgate. The truck of the tailgate.
I understand.
Comes down,
I'm not saying
they put all the booze. And these aren't. This isn't. This is. You would love this.
Well, I don't drink on Sundays. It's a religious thing.
Yeah, right. This is a true tailgate with, and it's. They're great. Okay. John, we're going to do that.
Our authority is calling in right now.
Okay, all right.
Will you accept this?
Chris,
whatever this authority says, you accept as gospel.
No, I want
yes
no,
or
no,
just
no.
Give me a yes or no.
No, I need
this
resume.
This is like an expert testimony in a trial.
Let me, I want to, you know, if it's an expert. Then
this
I
person
want,
has
a little bit
expounded
of the resume.
On this for years. Are we ready? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the most renowned expert on soggy bread. Should it be consumed by humans? Yes or no? Mr. Murphy in the morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, Murphy, you know, I didn't know. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been for, 25 years, but I didn't know this was your forte, so let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, I have a real problem with it. I think there's something wrong with you if you like that. You know, imagine making like a peanut butter sandwich and then pouring a glass of water on it.
Thank you.
It makes no sense. Mr. Mayor, are you telling me that you are a big fan of said soggy bread?
I am. I enjoy making French onion soup, and I'm talking about the onions and then caramelizing them and putting it in the bowl, baking it like this one lady said.
Oh, isn't he fancy dancy, Murph?
But there is bread in there that I put in there, toasted the baguettes that she's talking about.
You know, if you would have come out on the right side of this debate, maybe in the last election, you'd still be mayor.
I didn't run, Murph.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't get much of the write-in vote either.
None. Not a one.
None.
Oh, so really, are you just, I know you would, see, you and mine will go way back. I think he just, you know, slipped you a 20 and said, look, call in, and you know, I got a, Schmidt's been beating me on everything we talk about, no, so.
Here's the thing with, he's never been too fussy about his food.
No, that's obvious.
Yeah, wow. Very obvious. But when it comes to this particular battle, apparently we're very much on the same page.
Very much so. And I wear sweater vests these days.
Yeah, he does.
You're coming does. Around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Boy, is he ever coming around.
Who have I become? So, Mr. Murphy, any advice for Mr. Schmidt? We've now been doing this for 1 month. Any advice on doing a morning show with me?
Patience is the key.
Yes.
Generally, the show doesn't start till he gets there, so... the first 15 minutes, you're usually on your own. What time did your show start? Six?
Yeah.
All right, so John gets in about 6:15.
He comes waltzing in around 6:07,
I've been on time for every show so far.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
He really has.
Hey, we also have a weight contest. You know, sometimes I just try to lose weight.
Every day you try to lose.
Yeah. He does. So we lift day one, he brings in this scale, okay? It's like, Johnny, $100 bet, $100 bet. He's just like Rudy Giuliani when he talks. Johnny, here's the deal, okay? $100 bet, who's going to lose the most? $100 to the other's favorite charity, okay? I think I should win, and he says, no, it's null and void because I put on 3 pounds, he put on 4. Thus, I should win the bet, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I guess.
Wait. No. Murph, it was who's going to lose the most weight. It didn't work.
Or I mean, who gains the least.
No, who's going to...
Murph?
If you were going to run...
This is Murphy in the morning.
And nobody ran. I know. This guy's an expert on a lot of things
except
toast.
This is a guy whose decision should be final.
Mr. Mayor, here's what I think, Mr. Mayor. You should have Mr. Meinl write down how many different diets he's been on over the last 25 years, and that would take up 2 hours of your show right now.
Boy, look at the time.
Hey, call, I got to go.
Call back when you get closer, caller.
All right, see you, boys.
Thanks,
all right,
Murph.
Take care,
buddy. See ya. Right. Murphy in the morning, our expert witness.
One of your expert witnesses. I think if we really want to know about croutons, baguettes, in soups, we should call another expert. And this Chris Mangus guy is...
That's fine.
He's unbelievable.
That's fine.
He does.
Best you can do now is tie, though. Just
saying. Then we'll open it up to the phones.
Exactly.
All right, I'll get him on here this week.
Once again, Tom Farley, brother of Chris Farley, coming on at the bottom of the hour, 6:30. Talk about everything that Chris went through in his incredibly talented but troubled life. We'll be back with more Mind on the Mayor back after this. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor here on a nice Monday morning in Northeast Wisconsin. Little Paul Simon, Chevy Chase, 1988, summer of 1988. Remember that? You know the other song that was big back then in that era, in that summer? You know, you remember just certain songs in certain summers?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know why you don't remember in the winter, but in the summer. That one, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
All those kind of songs were big that summer. It's kind of like the whimsical, fun sort of songs.
Was that like... Ghost, that
Ghostbusters?
Movie. No.
That was 84.
No, Ghost. The
oh,
movie.
Oh, yeah. With Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
In that...
Was that 88, 89? Because
that era.
That
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
what's her name? You know what I mean.
Yeah.
From A Few Good Men. Hey, you know what was on the other night? Right. You know what movie was on? Demi Moore. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know what was, on? I watched a couple of minutes of the other night. I was almost going to call you. Okay. It was almost gonna call you. Scent of a Woman.
Text. Oh, yeah.
I still love that.
That's, yeah.
You know what my favorite line is?
Yeah, I do.
You know what my favorite line is? Here's my favorite line. Can I give him my favorite line?
Yeah, I love it.
If I was half the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Hoo-wah. Charlie.
Yeah.
Jason's coming in here for some reason.
Jason, why are you
this
doing?
Is not good when Jason, our producer, executive director, CEO of our show. Oh, he just comes in to steal a pen back that we stole from him.
Right.
Thank you, Jason.
Okay, Jason, that's...
That got a little scary.
That is makes me nervous. Like, you guys have...
Did you know that he's in the Hall of Fame?
I do.
Did we mention that on the air?
I hope so.
We are working with a Hall of Famer.
We are.
Jason, is it... What's it called, Jason? Your Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's the...
Oh,
it's the national...
I have to tell this story again. My Hall of Fame story. I couldn't even win punt, pass, and kick.
Stop it. You know how I am.
I know.
It's the National Wheelchair Softball Association Hall of Fame.
So get this. So he, when's the last time you played competitively?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. So right. He gets a phone call the other day. Yo, Jason, one of our guys got hurt. We're going to the World Series of wheelchair softball. Would you come and play in the World Series in Chicago? How cool
so
is that?
So Jason comes to see Johnny and says, look, I got to talk to you about something. And
I thought he's quitting or something. I thought he's going to be like, I can't deal with the mayor.
Okay.
That's what I expected.
And I thought he was just coming to say to you that
right.
I need more money. It's,
right.
It's tough to put up with you every day.
Right.
So, but all he wanted to do was say, I'm going to be out of town for
3 days. No, I didn't
even
say it was going to be. He wondered if it would be okay.
Oh.
If he could play in the World Series, the biggest event that they have. Yeah, I think it's okay. That's incredible. Incredible. Congratulations, Jason.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's I still want to work with you, though, as far as getting more wheelchair access for athletes in this area. Well, we got to figure out something.
Well, oh, Jason, sure. I think, before he was our producer, was one of our first guests, wasn't he? And we talked about wheelchair basketball, wheelchair activities, and I remember asking him, how is this community doing? He goes, you want me to be honest? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why you're
Sucks.
Here. Yeah.
Hate to say it. And I know you want to be.
I do.
Oh, you know, is that Christy? Because ask her for a mug.
Hey, Christy.
We have one mug.
I want to digress for one quick minute.
I drank my cup of coffee out of like a vase.
No. Christy, let me tell you what happened this morning. So we have Johnny brought in the Courier, whatever that's called.
Craig?
Creek?
No.
The thing to make coffee.
Where you make like individual ones?
Keurig.
Yeah.
Okay, so Johnny brought that, and of course doesn't bring in any coffee or cream. So
I had it in my car.
Right.
Not the cream.
Dusty. So we chiseled it off. We cleaned it up. And we
Hang on. I got to tell you something. I noticed it was washed in the break room. I think Jason saw it and like, this is grody. Right, Jason?
He's very gross.
He actually did.
Yes.
I had that in my apartment at Kakana.
Nice. Just think about that statement. John Mino, an apartment in Kakana.
It was
you just
terrible.
You just know it's gross.
It was so bad.
Okay.
It was
quickly,
so bad.
Quickly, I want to finish the story,
okay,
though.
Go
ahead. So,
it's all
brings,
about you.
He, of course, he brings it in with no inventory. So I went and got the Starbucks and the creamer. And I come in here this morning, and there's no cups. So I took a glass, cleaned it, and put it in there. And there's no cups here. So I made it in a glass. Johnny calls it a vase, but it was a glass, 10 ounce. And I made it, and all of a sudden I look, he's drinking, he put sugar in there, and he's drinking out of it. I'm like, dude, that was mine. And there's no other cups here. So if you could, I would pay you dearly today I'll pay you Tuesday for a coffee cup today.
No,
if you could just get even a paper one.
How would you describe this?
That's a small.
What is it? Is it a vase?
I don't know what it is.
This looks like something that people have like candies and mints in or something.
Johnny, you say I never watched TV as a kid though, but who said that, right?
Who said what?
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a coffee cup today.
Who?
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Jason?
What? A TV character?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Jason, do you know?
I'll gladly pay you a what?
I have
say
no
again?
Idea.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
I have no idea. Was it a regular thing or a one-time thing?
No, regular thing. He said it all the time.
No idea.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Who was it?
I'm going to leave you hanging on that.
No,
like
tell
you
me.
Always do to me.
Do you have any gift certificates? I'll give somebody a gift certificate if you tell me, because he won't tell me.
Okay.
920-264-0606.
Gift certificate to Delilah's. Huh?
Delilah's.
We'll send them there.
Okay, send them to Delilah's for breakfast. 2 minutes for Tom Harley.
I'll gladly pay you... Tuesday for
no
a
idea.
Hamburger today.
No idea.
Are you the guy that was glued in front of the TV in Nagani?
264-0606. Nobody knows. Because this
everybody
is so
knows.
Obscure. It's nobody knows.
Everybody watched that. Okay.
Was it a cartoon or a regular show?
It was a cartoon. That's it. I'm done talking about it. Okay.
Flintstones?
No. Hey, did you see?
Wasn't the Jetsons?
No, it wasn't the Jetsons.
All right. Those are my two favorite. Land of the Lost? Yes or no? Hey, you know, that's the guy we got to get on here. He used to be a good friend of mine. The dad in Land of the Lost.
I never saw that.
You never saw Land of the Lost?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Remember we had him on a few times, Jason, on the other show? Yes.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was awesome. Can't think of his name right now off the top of my head, though. Can't think of it. I'll give you a quarter. Say that again. What was the line?
The guy would come in, and he would go into the hamburger shop, and he would say, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
No, I've never heard that statement.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't. I wouldn't know this. But it was a cartoon. That doesn't really count as a TV show.
Well, that's all you watched growing
up? No, it wasn't.
That's all you watched growing
up. Did I tell you I found Rat Patrol on, like, Hulu? Remember Rat Patrol?
No,
You don't remember Rat Patrol?
No.
How do you not remember Rat Patrol?
Because I didn't watch it. That's
Are you serious?
Wow. All right, we're back with a very special guest.
Very special. One of the best guests I think we'll ever have on this show. Important guest.
An important guest.
Yes.
All right.
Tom Farley, brother of the legendary Chris Farley, will be joining us. It's Mino and the Mayor. Beautiful day in downtown Green Bay.
WGBW 97.9. We'll be right back.
You had to look, didn't you?
In this dirty old part of the city.
Welcome back.
When the sun reveals.
Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. Coming away from downtown Green Bay on the beautiful City Deck Landing. Right now, a very special guest. And Christy, who runs the City Deck here, you helped line up this gentleman.
Yes.
And pretty exciting to have him on, isn't it?
Very.
And you've met him?
Yes, last year at the Meyer Theater, he came over.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very spectacular, wasn't it?
Very.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest, Tom Farley, all the way from, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, Dubuque?
Good Lord, no, that was a brief part in my past.
Oh.
Okay, so you upgraded. Where are you at?
I'm back in Madison, where I belong.
There you go.
I spent the weekend in Madison, and Jim and I were both talking, because our headquarters for our civic radio is in Madison, right downtown on State and...
Yeah, Civic Kim, Media is right,
but right on State Street.
It's a beautiful building they bought and remodeled. You overlooked the Capitol. I don't know the cross street there, but
beautiful.
Madison's great.
Yeah, the only thing is, Jim and I both agreed on one thing, Tom. If you're not from Madison, it's not the easiest city to drive around in if you're not quite sure where you're going.
It's not easy for any of us, especially in the summer when you've got all the construction barrels up.
Oh, man, right. It is loaded with them.
Yeah, it's a little tough. I lived in New York for like 17 years and then moved my family back. About 20 years ago, and I know Madison. I know what I'm doing. I was getting lost everywhere, and you know, my family would laugh at me. Right. Like, I thought you were from here. It's like, I think it grew a little.
Well, Madison is, and that's one of the best places consistently to live in the United States. It's got so much going on. A little underbuilt, though, in terms of hotels. They could use a few more hotels because it gets.
You know how much we spent for the hotel rooms?
Right.
Take a guess.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me on that. I was, for a while, director of marketing for the Convention Bureau here.
Oh.
And that was our big thing was like, Madison is a lot like, you know, we love it, but it's almost like it's for us. It's ours. It's for us. We want to keep all of these things to ourselves. So the fact that we don't have hotels, we don't have restaurants. We have all this lake, beautiful lakes. We have no restaurants on the lake.
Right.
We have like one or two.
Right.
My hotel room, $322.
Yeah.
$322.
In Madison, when there's not a game going on, it just, what's the other place where Elvis stayed, but then they kind of remodeled it or they redid it? It's
in Madison?
I don't know. Madison?
Yeah.
The Sheraton or was the Concourse?
The Concourse. No, the Concourse. But what's the one on the water, though? You do have one nice hotel, don't
you? The Edgewater. Yeah.
The Edgewater.
I was there this weekend for their 75th anniversary. It was beautiful. I was, I was kind of a big champion of that when they were there. A good friend of mine, owns it now and runs it. And it's beautiful, but that's it. That's one of the only things on the water.
We had our kids graduate. Our daughter graduated from that. One of our kids graduated from Madison, and we had, this hospitality suite, and it was great. But just if we wouldn't have been in there, I'm not sure. I think, you got a Hampton, you've got some decent hotels. Some are kind of out in the sticks a little bit. I just think that downtown, I know there's a lot of development going on in the downtown, but a lot of that is apartments, The Point and some of the other things that you're building down there.
you know, the biggest problem with Madison is that downtown is filled with state government buildings,
right,
and the university, which are off the tax rolls.
Right.
You know, the prime real estate is filled with people that they're not getting any tax revenue from.
Right.
They're sitting on the best plots of land in the city, and it doesn't get us very far.
It doesn't, and those downtowns, that is some valuable, valuable property that they're sitting on. You know, it just is. And you want the capital, that's great, but the university and I don't know. I think some of those departments could be more on the beltway. They don't have to be downtown in the city. And you could develop that into some pretty high-end hotels, restaurants. But it's a great city. I mean, you can consistently rank in one of the top places to live.
Funny how it said you, because when we're driving through, I forget what building it was pointed out that it's basically vacant, one of the huge big buildings downtown in the area. Okay, I don't know if it was a state department of something. And then about two blocks away, they're building this huge, big, gigantic building. It's like, really? Wouldn't it be easier to just move into one that's empty?
Yeah, I'm not sure they think that way.
No.
And when you're sitting on $7 billion surplus, although I don't think they should pat themselves too hard on the back for that. A lot of that was COVID money that created that surplus. Everybody's like, what some great business people that are running our state now. They took a deficit and turned into a surplus. Well, a lot of that was federal money that made that happen. Not all of it, but the majority of it was. So anyway, you live in a great city, but more importantly than that, you're doing great things.
I'm going to reintroduce him. Tom Farley is joining us right now. Brother, of course, of Chris Farley, and I'm sure that gets a little bit old, always being referred to as brother of. But the fact of the matter is you've taken it to a different level in regards to what you're doing with that family name and your crusade, which I'll be honest with you, Tommy, I hope it's okay to bring up. It was a personal crusade for you because it wasn't just helping others. You've had to help yourself, haven't you, with addiction issues?
100%. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I mean, for the longest time, my full name was Tom Farley, brother Chris Farley, who died of a drug overdose.
Exactly.
That was my full name. Yeah. And now, you know, and for that, you know, honestly, I was out there talking about, you know, his struggles, his addiction, you know, and so that makes sense. But now in my journey, you know, I'm in recovery myself, and I talk about my story with Chris's and my family's and Wisconsin's, really. And it's a little bit more authentic, and boy, I get to be Tom Farley again. You're right. It feels pretty good.
I don't know. Does that doesn't get old though, being the brother of Chris Farley either though, does it? I mean, you guys are both terrific people.
Your brothers have gone through the brother of the mayor.
Yeah, no. They're embarrassed by that. One of them changed his name, quite honest. No, go ahead.
It's such a fine line. You're right. I mean, when I get the Chris Farley's brother thing, I realize it's, you know, and I had to realize early on that it doesn't go to my ego. They're honoring Chris,
right,
and I have to support, you know, I've got to honor that myself. I've got to let people honor Chris through me. That's fine, as long as it doesn't go to my head and it's an ego thing for me, then it's okay.
Yeah,
and I've learned to do that.
Well, you're doing a great job of it. I mean, I've read some stuff, I watched some of your interviews. You know, you have a message. I mean, you've been everywhere. You had a foundation. I think you kind of reorganized that a little bit, right? The Chris Farley Foundation, and now you're...
Yeah, well, I was going into schools, and I was doing a lot of work, you know, and speaking, doing programs. And then, you know, it's kind of funny. Ever since I wrote the book on Chris, a biography, I was getting more request to kind of just do keynotes and motivational speaking and all that kind of stuff. So I said, I don't need to do the foundation. I can just be this advocate. And,
great.
And, so it was just a natural transition to just be, you know,
So Johnny and I, we have this show, there's this Mind on the Mayor show, and we were hired by Civic Media, to really engage in the community. And it's fun to talk about the new businesses and all the events that we have and the Packers. But one of the issues really facing us is fentanyl, is just drugs in general, drug overdoses. We had, John and I have a really good friend of ours that lost her, she lost her 26-year-old kid last year to a drug overdose. And
She said they had 9 overdoses about a month or so ago. 9 overdoses in like a week,
right?
Week and a half here, right here in town.
Yeah,
in our little city.
I don't think people fully appreciate just like how big an issue this is, and how people either. And again, you know, we focus on that those overdose numbers or those suicide numbers. Those are final numbers. The numbers rolling up into that, the people that are struggling with it or survive those things, is 10 times that. I mean, that's the real problem.
So rehab, does that work? I mean, it's expensive and some people can't afford it. Or like, do you have, I know there's not a magic bullet.
And we only have 9 beds or 16 beds in all of Green Bay?
Some of them. Yeah. In some of our inpatient places in Green Bay, we're pretty limited. But if someone's listening here, and there are people struggling, I mean, they say up to 10%. I don't know if it's that high, but that's just a lot of people that are struggling with issues. And what is your, I haven't seen you speak lately.
What's your message, Tom?
Well, it's kind of all over the place because I have a little bit of ADD, but I talk about recovery, I worked for a treatment facility in Rockford, a couple of Wisconsin for them,
right.
Rosecrans, and I realized that in the middle of COVID when I knew what was coming, I said, look, I've been an advocate for 25 years, people are going to need to get into treatment. So that's why I made this final jump to where I am now, to get people help. So I do believe, treatment, that's saving lives, there's so many barriers, particularly here in Wisconsin, insurance isn't paying for it,
right.
Or there isn't openings. I just don't think there's a philosophy. I don't think we do a treatment and recovery right here in Wisconsin. It pushed people to outpatient therapies, but like some people do need, treatment. But that's just the start. There's still when you come out of treatment, you've just made the first step. It's rest of life stuff. And I don't think we're sending that message that, that it's a better life in recovery. And so I'm out there talking about that.
That's awesome. That is terrific. I'm pretty familiar with Hazleton. I had a brother that went there. And we have here in Green Bay the Nitschke Center, which is...
Yeah, oh my God, it's fabulous, yeah.
We have one of their... the guy went through recovery, and he actually works there now, which is a great story. I mean, he's given back, this guy struggled like a lot of people. Anyway, I don't know Rosecrans as well, but I do know those other two pretty well. And it's just, we need more of this, but I think you're right about the whole aftercare. That is what is, we may be missing, but.
Well, another thing that a friend of mine that lost someone, she said they basically spent what a Harvard education would be in rehab. That's how much rehab was, a Harvard education. So what about these people that are middle class, they got a good job working at James River or whatever, and their child has this kind of a problem. How in the world can you afford something like that? I mean, you just can't. It's out of reach in some ways. So there's got to be some middle ground. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Well, there's definitely gaps in service. And I think, again, it's funding is so critical. Things, just aren't being covered or it's not covered to the level that people need. And, I think, people sometimes, like my brother Chris, went in and out of rehab 17 times, because, not because he was bad at it, but sometimes it takes that long. Sometimes you're that addicted that, it's not one and done. It's not like, setting a broken bone and you're fixed. I mean, people have to realize it's pretty expensive. But once, I think it's more efficient to cure people the right way than to kind of continue to enable a dysfunctional system. I think that's what we're doing now is we're spending a ton more money than we should.
And do you think the solution with that, and I know a number of people, family that have gone in, more than once. I mean, it's not like you go in and you're cured. It's not fixing a bone or, yeah, like you said, or stitching up a wound. I mean, it's much deeper than that. And but we have these sober living houses. Is that part of what we need? Go ahead.
Well, you know, what I love about the two trends in this field that I love, that are, as I said, kind of filling gaps in services, are the sober living homes and the peer recovery groups. There's a lot of great peer recovery up in Green Bay, too, as well. And what I love about those is that it brings it back into the community's eye. You know, before, you know, and even now, when you're sent away to treatment, you're sent away and everyone doesn't have to worry about you anymore. And you're out of sight, out of mind. Go get fixed.
Right.
But these two things are bringing it back in the community and people get to see.
Tom, we're up against the break. Can you stick around?
Yep. So give me the cut you off. I've just got to hit a quick break here. Back more with Tom Farley right after this.
This is that ice cold Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty.
Welcome back, Vino the Mayor here on a Monday morning, WGBW. Joining us right now, a very special guest, Tom Farley. Tom, just want to talk a little bit about Chris. When he was in the big time, when he was making Tommy Boy and Saturday Night Live was through the roof and the van down by the river and all those kind of things, what was life like actually for him at the time?
At Saturday Night Live, and it was great because I was in New York with him and I got to see it up front and close, and it was wonderful. You know, when he first got to New York, he was struggling with kind of his addictions. He went in and out of treatment a couple of times. And then he came out of Hazleton, I think a second time. And instead of going back to his big apartment, he went to a sober living house that Hazleton had in Lower Manhattan. So he was on TV every weekend, checking into his cot every night, working his recovery program. And his career just went through the ceiling when he was working his recovery. You know, that I didn't know it at the time, but that's what it was. And it was amazing to see Chris, you know, clean and sober and just being one of the funniest people on earth. And so, you know, those were great times, you know, when he was really doing, you know, at a dream job, doing what he loved with a ensemble of friends and colleagues that were just top of the industry. Unfortunately, like when he went out to, when he left that, went out to LA, it just all crumbled because, you know, he wasn't, you know, in charge of him. He was a commodity and now people were making money off of him, you know, and weren't allowing him to stay clean and sober. You know, they were pulling him out of rehabs and it was a mess. And he just went through this roller coaster of, you know, up and down. When he made movies, he was clean and sober and just on totally on his game, but then he would come off and he, you know, he was just such a typical, and I love him for it, for never losing sight of the fact that he was Chris from Wisconsin, but you know, he was swimming in, you know, the Shark Tank. And
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ty.
Yeah, it's a tough place for a kind of an honest, you know, a Wisconsin kid in LA is, you know, they kind of got eaten alive.
Are there names, big names, that if you wanted to, you could bring out and that you'd be pretty ashamed of the way they handled things with him?
Oh, you mean like Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It's more behind the scenes managers and things like that. And, you know, it's just the industry people. There are people that did try to help him. You know, guys like Tom Arnold was, you know, a great friend and recovery, you know, advocate for him, and was really, you know, helped him stay, you know, tried to help him stay sober. So there were people that really tried to help. His friends were always his friends, you know, David, you know, and Adam,
David Spade,
you know, like a lot of, like a lot of friends of people with addictions, like, you're not equipped to do this. You don't know what to do, but you know, what they did was they remained, you know, concerned and friends. And they, you know, a lot of times you're like afterwards, like, should I have done something? It's like, you really can't. Don't beat yourself up about that. You always have to worry about the people like, we tried to help. The people that say they tried to help, like, yeah, okay.
Right. You know, I think, though, you're making a good point in that a fellow addict or a fellow person in recovery really, you know, they've been there. They understand it. But the community doesn't understand how sensitive, how close some of these people are to a relapse. It takes nothing. One party, one very stressful movie shoot, or one really joyous big time check, and everybody celebrates. It's like, hey, look, you let's celebrate.
It's a slippery slope.
But let's not drink. Yeah. Let's not snort. But, you know, people don't know. It's like, well, we're just going to party tonight, then we'll be fine tomorrow. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, you know, and again, my reference, because, you know, drinking was my big thing. And that's because, you know, that's a Wisconsin thing. So we know that. But, you know, Chris once told me, he just said, Tommy, I've seen, like, I can give up drinking. I can give up weed. And I loved those things. But I took heroin once or twice. And that is on my mind all the time. And he could be in recovery pretty easily for, like I am, you know, just not drink and do my program. But he said, you know, heroin is just always waiting there. It's just on your mind. It's like I could be walking down a street in some other town, but it'll remind me of a street where I used to score drugs, and I'm just triggered. Yeah. Or I see somebody in the crowd that looks like my supplier, and I'm triggered. It's the weirdest thing. It's like it's always there. And that's scary. I mean, I don't have any experience with that, but I understand the people that walk around like, it's just always there, ready to pounce. Those opioids.
That's scary.
Unbelievably powerful addiction. I haven't experienced that, but I when I talk to people or you read about it, learn about it, it's akin to oxygen. They will do anything to get more.
Well, there's a good book I read about a Navy SEAL fought all of his life to become a Navy SEAL. Finally became one, and he had overcome a serious crack cocaine addiction and was clean with everything. And literally, they had a block party, and his wife said, hey, why don't you go? You're doing great. And she didn't see him then for 4 days.
Yeah.
And that block party, having a couple of beers, put him over the edge, and he was gone for 4 days. And then you end up getting killed in Afghanistan, actually. But
well, that's what Tom's talking about.
Yeah.
It's just how close you are to a relapse. 17 times. I mean, it's just, I've known someone who was through like 6, and it's still a struggle every day. But, you know, there's a lot, but like you said about Chris, when he was sober, I mean, he was at the top of his game.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, it's a great.
It was funny. When I wrote my book, I was interviewing, you know, all his buddies, you know, David Spade, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, and they all said during that time, it's like he was funnier than all of us. And I'm like,
that's pretty funny.
It blew me away. I'm like, David Spade definitely is funnier than David Spade. We all know that.
Oh, yeah, that does take questions. But
Chris Rock and Sandler saying that, I was like, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know?
Well,
you know what I love to say?
Go ahead.
I love to say that, you know, people loved him because he was just this Midwestern kid from Wisconsin, and he brought that everywhere he went. He was so genuine and authentic, you know, and I tell people in Wisconsin all the time, it's like, that's us, you know, that's who we are. Chris was showing the world, you know, this wonderful, wonderful place and people that we are. And, you know, we've got to really protect that and get our drinking culture and these drugs under control, because we don't lose it all.
Oh, I got a story to share with you on that, but not, we're out of time, Johnny.
Tom Farley, thank you so very much. What an honor to have you on the show.
I'll come back anytime.